Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. This episode is, I'd say it's a heavy hitter. It's real heavy. We're dropping Lennox Lewis, Mike Tyson, Evander, real deal, Holyfield style blows. As we bring in comedian extraordinaire Sean Savoy. He's got a great story about doing some shows overseas. You're definitely going to want to hear. Jeremy talks a little bit about his new job, which honestly, he's still holding down right now. So big accomplishments to the big guy. Leave us a 5-star rating on the iTunes or the Stitcher if you feel so inclined. It would make our day, cost you absolutely nothing, and means the world to us. So without further ado, get strapped in, turn the volume up to 11, and get ready for Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn.
Kiddies, it's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
You got a swag to you.
Yeah, I have a little.
Sean doesn't follow fashion; he makes fashion.
It's a geek fashionista, I'd like to call it.
Yeah, like this little thing on the knee pads here is like, yeah. It's very Dooney. It looks like you're ready to harvest the spice.
It's also like a. It's also for crime fighting as well, actually, if I'm being honest.
It's like, well, Jeremy has, look, Jeremy has little dune like things on his shoulder blades.
Yeah.
There is
like
that
those.
The new
yeah,
joint.
I was with the. The hoodie what I bought.
The difference was is that Jeremy got this from social services and you...
Fair enough.
Everything I buy is from Foreman Mills instead of being from Ford. So.
Foreman Mills! Listen, there's some hot deals at Foreman Mills from time to time. I like...
What is Foreman Mills?
It is the...
Cheaper than Ross.
It's cheaper than Ross. It's a giant Walmart-sized bargain outlet clothing store that generally are located in urban areas.
And what's exactly the bargain?
There's just... They have
like high-end stuff for like really cheap. Like you can get like a Adidas sweatsuit for like $2.
Exactly. But then there'll be like threads coming off one of the edges that you have to clip off and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's like shit like that. It's like...
So if you work on it, you could have a good outfit if you like make it...
Yeah, it's one of those things you gotta go fishing. You gotta go fishing for the deals inside Foreman Mills. You're like, oh, this is a fucking shoe, but it's missing one of the fucking little metal parts that like go through the thing.
Because what I found out is that they have those cheap spots, but you can find stuff just as cheap and like good quality. Like you don't have to like be there to bargain.
Yeah,
but
people
go there though. But
it is true. It's
a
market,
especially
obviously.
With online. And also, I guess these are people that are not buying online.
Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. My name is Eric Woodworth, your host with the mostest, joined by my always loving brother, my brother, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, how are you doing, sir?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, who's joining us on the show this evening?
It's me, and I'm the brother of Bobby May! Bobby May!
It's Bobby Joe!
Bobby Joe.
Bobby May.
Sorry.
God,
Bobby May.
You made
me thinking,
sick.
Sorry,
I thought you were doing Righteous Gemstones for a second or something.
I was thinking of the May Queen. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
So I can't get that Zeppelin song.
I love you, girl.
I love you, girl.
Which I had him scream with me when I met him at a show.
Oh, okay.
He didn't even
charge
me.
Oh, you met the real...
Yeah.
He met the
and
guy.
By the way,
what's his name in the movie?
His name.
Do they
is,
say his name?
No, they do say his name. His name in the movie is Jake. He's Jake.
Wow.
Is it Jake?
Mm-hmm.
Like barely
played
ever
by
say
Dan
his
Hicks.
Name.
But yeah, you have
Dan
to pick
Hicks.
It up.
Like, when do they say his name?
They say it like later, way after they meet him. Like later, yeah. It's Bobby Joe says he's like, Jake, are you holding my hand?
Jake, the one time.
Yeah. Baby, I ain't holding your hand. I ain't holding your hand.
That other voice that you hear is comedian, fashionista, and general funny guy, Mr. Sean Savoy. Sean, how are you doing,
hello,
sir?
Hello, how are you?
When I think of like the top five cool comedian names, I think of Sean Savoy.
Yeah, you know, Sean Savoy does sound like an alias for a superhero.
It does.
They always have like Scott Summers, yeah. Peter Parker.
Yeah, Sean Savoy actually does sound like, I never even thought about that, but it does sound like a good,
yeah,
and much alias. Like Kiss, if you wanted to, you could put like a big SS on your t-shirts and like looks like a Nazi symbol, which
yeah,
is
yeah, yeah, I know, that's why I haven't done that before. If you like me to make, if you like to make me the pogo version of that, I'll wear it. I got wrapped by SS.
Hey, Jeremy always has really great ideas.
Would that confuse people if you had the Nazi symbol? If you had the Nazi SS inside the Superman symbol, would that confuse people? Like,
I don't know.
Like,
but
you're fighting for.
It's only cool if you're Jewish.
Is that
Jewish.
Like you're fighting for racism?
Yeah, I like it.
Well, is that fighting for racism if you do
have
that?
You ever read the, what is it, the Under the Red Sun, the Superman
Elseworld
thing?
I have the figure, too, actually.
That's really cool. Yeah. That's the story of if Superman landed in Russia and he grew up to be the biggest Soviet guy ever.
Yeah.
So, it's a fun story. I think I bet you DC
ironic.
Will make a movie out of it.
Yeah.
He came from the sky. We taught him to be the greatest Soviet crime fighter of all time. Crush the Americans!
Yeah, that's pretty much
they're actually doing a version of that on Supergirl. I don't know if you watched that. But
No, you know, I'm still behind on the DC TV universe. This is the problem. Can I tell you what ruined it for me? The Marvel shows, I was all in on like the Flash and Arrow. And then the Marvel shows on Netflix dropped and Daredevil was so much better that I was like, I'm in Daredevil.
Yeah, like,
and
what?
Then,
yeah.
And then those shows kind of waned out in how good they became. And then they hit me with The Boys. And I can't watch, now that I've seen The Boys, I can't go back and be like, I need to catch up with Supergirl because I know how good superhero stuff can be now.
Right. But you could just like look at it as a, like a fix until more episodes of like The Boys and all those stuff come, like a little holdover, you know.
I used to, you know,
like
what,
going like, hey, this isn't my main show, it's just my holdover until...
I used to when I come down here in the Quality Time studio, which is also my workout area. I have a TV down here and I used
to watch how I work out.
Yeah,
I mean, that's like I'll because music and all that stuff doesn't work, so I watch like episodes. That's like, oh, so like the only way I can watch the next episode is if I work out again. So that's how you have to like, I can't watch the next. So you can't like watch an episode here and then go watch it upstairs. You know, you're like, fuck, all right, I gotta go watch it. I gotta go work out if I want to see the next episode.
I like that because that's how I used to do the Flash. But I need to switch up my entertainment. Like sometimes I'm in podcast mode. Sometimes I need music, and sometimes I can go back to the telly.
Yeah,
but it all depends.
Because you can also do it with movies too, and just do it like in 15-minute. Like to see the rest of the movie, you have to go back to work out.
Yeah.
Know?
Like, what happens? Is this boat ever going to sink? Who knows?
Yeah. So you have to pick like a good series that you know that you won't like. Like if you're watching like a Daredevil season 4, if it came out, like I have to go work out if I want to see part. I can't just go watch it upstairs.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I can't wait to see Elizabeth Shue in the second season of Home of the Boys. So.
She's gonna do really good.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. You mean she's not gonna?
I want her to come back just how she ended in that season.
But you know what? But it is The Boys, though. It is The Boys. The season could open with like her face just like regenerating up. It is The Boys.
Yeah, that is true.
Because she could be like sitting like it could like just like start with her body like this, and then it's like you just see it just going.
That shit would rock.
That fucking asshole. You know, like it barely
she could
her.
Be regenerative.
Yeah,
I think that would be good. Listen, basically, this we just want you guys to.
And
watch
if she survived
Boys,
that, but
we're not no spoilers, but it's a great show. Now, Sean, you're a comic from around here. I've known you for a pretty long time.
You're probably going like 7 years, maybe.
You're big. A long time. I think one of the first comics I met when I got started. I think I ran into you. But you're a bit of a traveler. You're out in the mics. You're out in the mics.
Yo, what's up, yo?
Are you also Thunder Hill or...
Hicks. And,
what got you into doing stand-up? What was the thing? Was there a guy that you saw one time? And then inspired you? You were like, I think I could do this because this guy is really good. I think I could do
it. Like all the Wayans, like got a lot of their starts on there. So I saw like Damon Wayans on there and they had all these like specials with all these comedians all the time. Look that up sometime. Robert Townsend's partner.
His first time on Rodney Dangerfield was just hit it out of the park. So,
yeah. I always loved Rodney too.
I loved In Living Color back in the day.
Yeah, In Living Color was that was like
the Wayans family. Kenan Ivory, he's my favorite of all the Wayans. I think he's the most powerful of them because I liked like movies like I'm Gonna Get You Sucker are some of the funniest things I've ever seen my entire life.
That's how they got some of those. They did like skits on that Robert Townsend's Partners in Crime too, and that's how it led to like all those movies and all those shows.
Oh, that rocks.
They would do like little funny little skits and stuff.
Hollywood Shuffle.
Imagine
being so funny that you made all of your family, who isn't quite as talented as you, also mega stars.
That's like.
I mean, there's Kenan Ivory, Damon Wayans is really really funny. I don't think
I'm not gonna be buying presents for everybody. Everybody's gonna be buying their own shit. Yeah. Even your sons will be famous. You know, like even their son. You know.
Yeah.
Damon Wayans Jr. You know,
like, they're literally like the Wu-Tang Clan of comedy. Yeah. Right. Like there's 9 of them, and they're all you'd know all of them by name. Yeah. You fucking watch all of their movies.
I want to see like a.
But they've barely done anything all together.
I want to see a good guy.
Like
bad
you haven't seen them on the same scene.
Well, I bet you it's hard, right? Like
like the same like group shot. Like,
me
you know,
just
the,
being around Jeremy for like a half hour to do this, like before you came. I wasn't in the room with him. I couldn't.
I
want
to see a movie, a good guy, bad
movie. That's probably
movie.
Exactly how they are.
The Wayans versus the Baldwins.
Yeah. Ooh. That's like the McCoys versus the Hatfields.
And you know exactly the Steven versus the one guy who's like the funny, goofiest of all. So. They're the Goofy Brothers, so
that makes sense. So Wayans, that's what got you in the comedy game now.
Yeah, and all that, you know, of course Eddie Murphy and you know Richard Pryor and all that stuff as well. But the little underground stuff was that kind of stuff.
You performed worldwide before. I mean, you've been overseas with Pablo Francisco and stuff like that.
Nice.
Pablo alone, I did 11 countries over 65 European cities.
Do you think you could tell the one story about? You went, I think it was Sweden that you went to over the years. And
this is,
could you tell us the Sweden story about how when you?
Yeah, because I went to Sweden. You know about this, Jeremy, but I went to Sweden.
Is this where they tried to burn you alive in the cults?
No, this is where they tried to steal my liver. They tried to steal my liver and sell it on the black market. There, it went for our pretty penny.
They tried to make you the May Queen.
It went for our pretty penny in Sweden. So I was in Sweden, and I was feeling like extra cocky during these times too, whatever. Because like,
hell yeah,
I was like a spectacle over there. I was like, I had my long dreads in. I was like, and all these girls were coming around all the time, right? And it came to the point where I was just like being like extra cocky. It was like our second tour in Sweden. I was like, guys, all right, for this tour, I'm not hooking up with any girl unless she's like. The blonde, blue-eyed Sweden that you guys see on TV and magazines, tall, like, you know, like, I was just, like, you know, being all, like...
I want Swedish like, well, bikinis.
I went like Swedish, yeah, I went, like... Yeah. I went with, like, what the storybooks were made of when we were small. You know?
Has so, like, to be wearing clogs.
Exactly, yeah. And a very sweet voice, you know. So then, we're going around, you know, turning down girl after girl, whatever, right? And we're at this one, place. We were in Stockholm, Sweden, staying at the Burns Hotel. It was like the tightest hotel that like we had stayed in yet, and like they had this little table for us downstairs, and like we were they drove us to this like club, and they had this like girl that they wanted to like set me up with, but I wasn't like, you know, like
she
feeling her. Yeah,
what,
yeah, she was a brunette. Yeah, she was a brunette, and
she was probably like a 9, but she was just like, I need blonde. I need to look like she's Swedish bikini
exactly.
team. This is I have standards.
I was like, yeah. Okay. I was like, guys, I'm a diva. So, so then we were eating, and I see this other girl and our other dudes on the tour like, yo, Sean, that girl's looking at you. Yo, look at that girl there. And I was like, oh, shit. Yo, this girl's like... But, like, I'm still, like, the nice guy. And I didn't want to, like, you know, like, be disrespectful. You sit here, sweetheart. I'm going to go talk to the better-looking girl that actually was the girl of my dreams. You are nowhere near my dreams, but I... No.
You're
but,
telling everybody to suck baby dicks.
Yeah. So, I don't know how this happened, we're leaving, and somehow that girl like slipped me her number when the other girl wasn't looking. I don't know, it was some kind of like weird maneuver, and I was like, oh, okay, whatever. So then I like hit her up, and I was like, yeah, we got a show tonight if you want to come to the show at the China Theater, which was one of my, like, my favorite places to perform.
So when did you wake up in the torture chair?
Yes.
Like the hospital.
No, it wasn't in the hospital yet. Yes, come here and just try one ecstasy pill. Oh, I'll try.
I got 10,000
yes,
for
please
him.
Please put this on your tongue. Oh, okay. So I hit her up. I was like, yeah, you want to come to our show tonight? And she's like, oh, I can't because I have to like babysit my brother. I was like, but you should just come afterwards because I'll be selling DVDs. You come meet us there and we'll probably go to a club or something. She's like, all right, I'll come and do that. So after the show, I'm selling DVDs. And she comes over to the table, and everybody's like, yo, Sean, who is that? And I was like, yeah, you know.
Yeah, you know.
That's my sweet spoon thing. You know, yeah. So then, like, we go back to the hotel. My boy Ashley, he's on the tour, too. And he has his girl that he met in Sweden. I have my girl. We're chilling. We're dancing in the room. You know, like, I'm talking to Ashley. Like, yo, this is what it's all about. You know, we're comedians. Mm-hmm. We're, you know.
We're doing we're living high.
Yeah, we got, like, hot girls. And we're, like, chilling in our great hotel room. We're ripping it on stage. Like, this is the life, you know. And then they have this, like, Hummer limo for us that, like, takes us to this other club. So we're, like, looking like Big Willie now. We're drinking, dancing in the limo and shit, grinding, dancing, right? Get to the club. And, this is like the club after the show, so like a lot of people at the club were at the show, whatever. So like all these other girls are trying to come talk to me, and my tour manager guy, he's like, no, he's like blocking them away. He's like, no, I'm not letting you mess this up, Sean. I'm not gonna let you mess this up. He's like, he is taken, stay away from him, he is taken. And so then like we go back to the hotel room. I was like, oh shit, you know, this is what it's, you know, boom, 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 boom. I put on my little like music, got it all set up and everything, right? And then she's like, there's one thing I have to tell you. I was like, you can tell me anything. I was like, you can tell me anything. No. I don't care. And she's like, I am boy. And I said, and I am getting you a cab out of here.
So
yeah. And she takes off the wig like to show me. Like,
you gotta admit, Violet Grey looks damn good.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, I have a picture to show you too.
Oh gosh. So,
I thought I had stricken golden on it. Hold on.
But tell, while you're pulling up that picture, tell him about the tour manager the next time you saw him.
Yeah, and then like,
boy.
Oh yeah, so like, I didn't have to tell anybody this story because like, you know, like, to them, I could have just like ended off with the most beautiful girl in Sweden, you know, and like, yeah, you know what's up, high five your boy, high five your boy, you know I did the deed, high five, you know. But I wouldn't told the truth, you know.
I totally sucked his dick.
Yeah.
I put his pee pee in.
No. Went back and told Pablo, and Pablo used to have that joke about like the guys are like, he puts on his makeup, puts his dick between his legs, you know. and what you call it? And the most hilarious part about it too. Is that I went back again to Sweden on a whole new tour, and we had this one Swedish comedian on the show. Turns out that he hooked up with her too. But now she had the full transformation. Like she went through with the surgery. So like he had the peer her.
No, you told me about the tour manager.
Oh yeah, and our tour manager. Yeah, and our tour manager like he's used that story to tell like everybody now. And of course he tells. I don't know. I think in his version I banged the.
The way you laid it out for me the first time. Yeah, how did I lay it out for you? Sean, he was like Sean. He was like that story you told. That story that happened to you. It's the greatest story I've ever had. I told it at conventions.
Yes. This is how I got my wife. This is how I got my... You know, everyone has loved this story. And I was like...
Except in my story.
Yeah. Except in my story, you get fucked.
So there's a Swedish guy that's just running around telling everybody you fucked this transgendered woman. Yeah. And then, it's so good.
And then you... Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny, man.
And it sucks too. That's like before transgender was N, you know?
Yeah.
But here's the picture.
Let me see this. Let me see
this hot piece of ass.
Mmm.
Wow. Well.
She looks kind of like. Damn. Sean.
He was so protective of me at the time. You know, he's like, stay, I'm not letting you mess this up. She is the one.
That's so good.
And to come to find out. She was also 19.
Ooh,
so at the time, I had a 19-year-old.
That's hot.
No, 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 19-year-old.
Man. Have you guys heard, before we really get into tonight's topic, which we're going to talk about, this movie coming up, I don't know why, but it's hot in the news right now, but by the time this airs, it won't be. Have you guys heard the Cuba Gooding Jr. audio yet?
Something about sucking baby dick.
Hold on. Bring that man up here. Cuba
Gooding Jr.
Oh. Somebody suck that baby's dick. Somebody suck that baby's dick.
Is that a video?
It's a video of Cuba Gooding Jr. at the club yelling.
Hold on. Bring that man up here. Hold on. Somebody suck that baby's dick. Somebody suck that baby's dick.
I gotta be honest with you.
Show me the money.
I love that he is such a train wreck right now.
Just to wipe that smile off his face, you know, like, yeah, that little like, "Hi, Mr. Perfect Smile." Meanwhile, I have done numerous accounts of everything.
Somebody suck that baby's dick. I can't.
He's
stop
so
laughing
hot.
At that.
Keep going, Cuba. He is so hot. Keep saying that stuff. Like,
oh god.
Yeah, I mean,
live your truth,
I mean, like,
Cuba.
I mean, like, why does he even feel invincible? He's not. I mean,
he's not untouchable.
I mean,
right?
Just from Jerry Maguire.
I guess.
And Boys in the Hood made him.
And what's it called? The
Coming to America.
Yeah. I do have a couple, though, guys, of Joe Robinson's show corrections.
Oh, let's hear it. Hey, Joe Robinson, do you have any corrections
for us this week on Quality Time? Okay, Joe Robinson corrections. Jeremy, we're going back to the Killer Clowns from Outer Space episode. This is... him talking, he's saying, how could Chris, referring to Chris Lawrence, our guest, leave out Back to School when talking about William Zabka, which is the, I guess we were naming movies that William Zabka had done. That's the guy from The Karate Kid,
he's the bad guy.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, there's only
he's
other
in
movie.
Back to School. Oh. Yeah. He also, for some reason, I don't know if this is a correction or just a point out, Chris Lawrence used the word three roper three times in this episode. So, referring to like shooting ropes out of your thing. Also, Jeremy, you were trying to reference the lead singer of Men at Work named Colin Hay, and you just called him Colin someone. So that was Jeremy trying to do that.
Big rock stars of the 80s.
Oh yeah, Sean, Joe Robinson listens to every episode and does corrections
when he's not
for
doing
us.
Football broadcasting. Yeah. Bastard.
Fucking bastard.
Why does he care more about us? Football.
I apparently was trying to sing the lyrics to Stand By Me, and he goes, "It's not when the night is young, it's when the night has come." And I say when the night is young, and it's when the night has come. So I messed that up. I also can't say the word dilapidated, and I always
who said that you can't say this?
I say dilapidated, and it's actually dilapidated.
Dilapidated.
And I also said the word I was supposed to say sustenance, not substance, which, you know, is how I pronounce it because I'm an idiot.
Fair enough.
Banana is actually completely wet and it's also black. Mm-hmm. That's dilapidated.
Now, Jeremy, getting to our Night of the Demons episode, he mentioned this. Jeremy made me crack up, okay? When he said about the karaoke, during the Japan story, they're talking about the karaoke rooms. You said, do they have a room specifically for the Commodore? He names no song anyone's ever heard of, and it's definitely not a Commodore song, and it takes 10 seconds to get out. And Here We Go Tonight is the song that you name. He's like, it's not a Commodore song, and he's gone so far to think that was so funny that when we were at the Crofton Country Club doing the murder mystery this weekend, he was just like, hey, whatever happens tonight, when Robbie comes up, everybody, let's talk about the Commodores, and everybody say, your favorite song is Here We Go Tonight.
Here we go tonight.
So, And that wraps up our Joe Robinson corrections. I think maybe it was
"Take Me Home Tonight" by Eddie Money. Right?
Take me home, that great Commodore song.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Commodore.
So these are corrections that Joe had on your last podcast, or all?
It's multiple episodes that he's probably caught
up
on.
Night of the Demons, okay.
Because we record these in advance, so we don't like this episode you're recording.
He's a good corrector,
though.
He's a good corrector.
He's a hawk. There will be corrections.
He's like the guy in the bathroom in The Shining, because he corrects people.
Yeah.
Yes. So. Jeremy, I have these other songs, but I think we might have to save your talking about your job for later. So can we save them for a later episode? Is that okay, buddy?
You just do it real quick.
How's your job going, Jeremy?
I'm really enjoying it because I get to ride a pallet jack, and here's a song about it.
Is this under pogo music?
Yeah.
I'm a pallet jack driver, pallet jack driver. I'm a pallet jack driver, pallet jack. Going from here to those and their wheels, driving in the cold environment every day. Going to load up other trucks.
If you could have Ariana Grande do a little snippet in here, like.
That would be amazing. Your pallet jack driver song. There's another song that we don't have time to play right now. I think we should save it for the next.
Do you know what
set.
I do for a living? I drive a pallet jack.
Is it going good, or is it slowly killing you?
No, it's doing just fine. Can you play 5 seconds of the next song?
Here's the other song that's been going
after a week.
If you'd like to hear these songs in their entirety, just tune in to the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Are these on iTunes or Spotify right now?
Not yet.
Just pod exclusives. You got to hop on the feed to hear these. Here's the one that Jeremy couldn't do without.
If you consider doing a remix for this, I'd like to be on board for that.
Yeah.
So if you tune in to the end of this episode, I'll play the Pallet Jack song and this other one. Jeremy, what would you call that second one that we played that I don't understand one lyric
to? It's called I Am a Robot.
I Am a Robot.
And I've lost my soul doing my job.
Okay, good.
Which I'm going to right after this.
Do I have to go on our Woodward guest to be a...
No, go to Woodworth 5.
Did you make both those tracks back-to-back, or how long in between did you...
In between, no, they're complete separate tracks.
I mean, how long did it take to make both of them?
Oh, at least minutes.
You're in.
I do it all on my little four-track studio called Zoom PS4.
That's a Zoom PS4?
Well, let's get into tonight's topic, boys, okay? Tonight, we are going over the 1988, am I right? 87 classic, Evil Dead 2. And Jeremy, you made a tertiary song just for Evil Dead. Is this where, you think this is the time to debut that?
No, throw it in where it belongs.
Middle, you think?
You know
where
it belongs.
All right. This is probably one of my favorite movies of all time. Definitely one we've held off a long time to do.
Top five horror comedies of all time.
It is. It's really great.
It is. It's been in my top five of movies, actually, for a long time.
It's a great film in general. I think it's important to talk about how it even got made. Obviously, some people talk about the Evil Dead 1 a lot, which is... Some people think that Evil Dead 2 is a remake of Evil Dead 1. Some people are in the camp that say, no, this is the actual sequel to Evil Dead 1.
I say it's a sequel.
I think it is a sequel in the sense that they remove... So Sam Raimi, even from every one of the Evil Dead movies between this, Army of Darkness, he just expects you to forget certain things from the previous movie. You're like, oh yeah, don't worry, this is now where
because I kind of felt like, because whenever I'm explaining it to someone, because I always start them on Evil Dead 2, I'm like, yeah, I was like, this is kind of like what happened in the first one, where this is the exact way the first one ended.
Yes.
Because it, the exact, you know, because it picks up right...
Yeah, 15 minutes into the movie, you're at the end, technically, of Evil Dead 1, but they didn't have the rights to pull the original footage to do the recap, which is why they had to reshoot the whole beginning,
right?
And they got the new Linda and everything, and they just cut out the other two characters that don't exist
this
anymore.
Is just your typical
sequel.
Well,
she actually became a big star. That was Bridget Fonda? I mean, who was the
Hell
original
yeah.
Linda?
You no. got it. In Army of Darkness, it is Bridget Fonda.
Bridget Fondacaro.
No, in the first... Who was the original Linda?
Original Linda is not...
Oh, no, it's Bridget Fonda in Army of Darkness. Oh, yeah. She, oh, that's right. They put her as Linda in Army of Darkness. But the other Linda was somebody else, too, right?
No, I think it makes perfect sense as a sequel because, like, just because he lost all of his friends from the first movie, he decides to go back to the same cabin and then play the same recording. It's just kind of ironic that he forgot about the first film. So,
So the lady who played Linda is Betsy Baker in part one. And then Shelley was played by Teresa Tilly. So neither of them, there's no way
Which, by the way.
Oh, wait, what Army of Darkness, Linda?
The Army of Darkness, Linda, is Bridget Fonda in that brief little... You're right. That is correct.
Which, by the way, hearing the stories about Betsy, she had to get hit with that giant branch or beam in the first movie. And she had, like... eyelids so she couldn't see it coming every time. I think she was hit in the head with that thing, even though it was styrofoam like 80 times in a row, and she was really pissed off.
Well, one of the fun things about just this movie being made, though, this movie got made because Stephen King was a really big fan of the original Evil Dead, and when he had finally gotten his big bucks to make this great movie, and you can check it out in one of our previous episodes, Maximum Overdrive, he had mentioned to the producer of Maximum Overdrive about Sam Raimi's Evil Dead, and that's how Evil Dead 2 got its feet off the ground because of the great Stephen King.
Maximum Overdrive, another great Giancarlo film. So.
Yeah. So
Gus lives on.
So that was a big part of it. The other thing is, I just love this movie in general because it is just, it's Sam Raimi at probably his best. This is probably like this is where we get the real, I feel like, Sam Raimi, where his big influence is he always loves the slapstick humor that he puts into horror. And it's because one of his biggest influences is he loves the Three Stooges. And there's multiple even like Three Stooges bits that are kind of hidden within Evil Dead 2, like the eyeball that goes into the lady's mouth. I mean, that's ripped right off of like Curly shooting fucking grapes into the off of his arm into like the people's mouths and stuff like that. So he always wanted it to like be horror but also slapstick comedy.
That's why I say like Evil Dead, the first one is kind of like purish kind of horror.
Yeah.
Evil Dead 2 is more, it's horror but starting to get a little bit funny.
It's a little bit campier,
and then part three
less tree
like,
rape in part two.
Yeah, and part three is more funny than scary.
Part three, they take the camp to the next level, right?
Yeah.
But I think Evil Dead 2 is the perfect mix, you know what I mean?
I just want to say I'm sorry that I didn't write a song about tree rape in this episode.
Well,
you can make a shirt
about
it.
We'll think about it. Buy our tree rape shirt.
Hey, actually, you could do I Was Raped by a Tree shirt, Evil Dead shirt, you know?
Yeah.
And that might be, you know.
And he's like, I don't hug trees because I was raped by one.
I'm a tree raper.
Unless the tree community might come after you, though. The tree community, I don't know how the tree community.
Nobody's going to besmirch our trees.
Yes.
You might be a tree hugger. I was raped by one.
So to
how dare you say that about us?
To bring you up to speed on where we left off in Evil Dead Part 1, which you've never done in Episode 2, there is a recap at the beginning of this movie that tells you about the Necronomicon Ex Mortis.
Legend has it that it was written by the Dark Ones. Necronomicon Ex Mortis. Roughly translated, Book of the Dead. The book served as a passageway to the evil worlds beyond. It was written long ago, when the seas ran red with blood. It was this blood that was used to ink the book. In the year 1300 AD, the book disappeared.
That's actually real sound of Stephen King writing right there.
What?
That's how fast he writes his books.
Why does that whole sequence remind me of the room that they open in Poltergeist and everything's flying around and
it has that same sound effect riding a horse.
I see, like, in this movie, like, to me, like, no scene is boring. Like, you're just like,
No, yeah, everything's great.
Well, it's just like...
you know, I think Sam Raimi is... I think a comedian, Jimmy Merritt, put it best, is like, Sam Raimi makes comic book movies. Like, really. Like, it's like mm-hmm. reading a comic book is like watching how he frames it. It's almost exactly like how the storyboards are laid out. And I'm like, I fucking love it, man. Yeah.
I think that maybe something was actually deleted from this film, but the pacing is almost perfect.
It is. This is like, this is how all horror should be paced. There's no downtime. There's no filler. Anytime there's an emotional scene, it's immediately broken up like, bimp, like this. Like, uh-uh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you think it's going to get slow, then all of a sudden... the cross comes out of the ground and somebody starts dancing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's
no, you idiot. We have to.
Yeah. And that, I think that's the great thing is that you know, in a movie that takes the stakes very, very high in the opening, he somehow raises the stakes throughout the whole movie because that's what makes a movie great, right? Like, okay, this happens. Now, how do we raise the stakes? Yeah.
Can I say my favorite joke from Ash versus the Evil Dead TV show? Mm-hmm. Where he buries the parents, and then she's like, "You know they were Jewish, don't you?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He puts the crossover on. God, that was so funny. So, the movie opens up to the old 1973 Oldsmobile Delta cruising down the road with Linda and Ash at the wheel.
Delta
now,
88.
The Delta 88 is in every single movie.
Except
by
it's
Sam
hard.
Raimi.
It's hard to trace it in Quick and the Dead.
The Quick and the Dead supposedly. It's the chassis is used in one of the covered wagons.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, so that's a hard one to spot. I've never actually seen it or proven. It's just a theory. And I don't actually know if it's in The Great and Powerful Oz.
And Bruce always mentions that he puts it in every movie because he got laid in that car.
Oh, yeah? Oh, nice. Really? So, yeah. Fuck yeah. Bruce Campbell, God bless him.
I wonder if he bought him one.
But it is really fun. I definitely always pop when I see it. It's in all of the Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3 movies that Sam Raimi directed. It's in Drag Me to Hell, which is another episode we've already done. It's actually parked at the Gypsy Lady's house there.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even see it in Coming Home.
I saw a picture of it because I had never actually watched Coming Home. Is it a good film?
It was all right.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
And it's in Crime Wave, of course. We've definitely seen it.
Of course,
I don't even think
it counts because it's not Raimi anymore.
So, we hash out some of the things that happened in the first movie. Linda and Ash head to the cabin when Ash starts the ill-fated tape recorder within the cabin.
The Book of the Dead. My wife and I brought the book to this cabin where I could study it undisturbed. It was here that I began the translations. The book speaks of a spiritual presence, a thing of evil that roams the forests and the dark bowers of man's domain. It is through the recitation of the book's passages that this dark spirit is given license to possess the living. Recorded here are the phonetic pronunciations.
Can you put
like
a warning label not to read the incantations right now?
I know.
Estrata.
I don't think I had time for that, though. Yeah.
And then you hear the sound of evil, which is, so the tape recording gets played and the evil is summoned from the woods. And did you read anything about what the evil sound is actually?
I shall sell no wine before it's time, Rosebud.
So yeah, it's actually a recording. It's part of sounds that director Sam Raimi is actually making. And then really, really distorted sounds of Orson Welles is what that sound of evil
it's
is.
It's pretty much just Orson Welles when he's really drunk.
It's me, I'm hammer time.
They give me this wine. Part of my contract, I'm drunk.
Although this is unofficially, this is like one of the last films Orson Welles is ever featured in. So,
by the way, the video of Orson Welles trying to do a wine commercial when he was really trashed.
Oh God, that is really good.
Is that? It's on YouTube.
There's a thing of it's him doing a French wine commercial and he's fucking drunk as shit, and they have the outtakes from like 1970 something. A 10 out of 10. He's like, I don't know, sure. Like that. He's just mumbling incoherently and just clearly like shit face drunk. Oh, it's a great video. So Linda ends up getting possessed. Ash has to smack her in the head with a fucking shovel and chops her head off, and the head rolls right into the camera. He then wakes up and he ends up burying her and plants a cross in the outside of the cabin. Then evil comes inside to invade Ash and possess him like an Evil Dead 1, smashes him through some fucking trees, and then finally goes boom and crashes into a puddle, which brings us basically where Evil Dead 1 leaves off. He's possessed, he wakes up out of the thing, and then all of a sudden daylight comes and the evil starts to uncloud his eye, and we get to hear Ash do this wonderful bit of acting here.
This is great acting.
That was a good scream by old Ashley Williams.
By the way, don't
you
think he should have deserved an Oscar for this performance, though?
Every single one. He deserves it. Yeah, one. So,
For the hand scene alone, you know?
Instead, they gave it to Forrest Gump.
Ugh, God.
Fuck.
Jeez. Yeah.
Fried Green Tomatoes did not deserve the Oscar nod this year.
Only 8 years later.
Yeah, the day passes. Ash awakes, passed out in the puddle from earlier. The cabin is still behind him. He peers at the cabin, and a ghastly sight forms in front of it. Some giant eyes, and you hear this. And in the most comical way, he looks at it, and he's like, fuck no! And
he's like,
I love it so much.
I know, I say it in my head every time he's like, fuck the bullshit, I'm out.
I'm taking it off. Hops in the Delta 88 and takes off down the road. But he gets to the bridge that he crossed over to get to the cabin, and it's completely turned in. It looks like Magneto destroyed the bridge.
It
does look like a mutant did something to that bridge.
And then some more great acting from Bruce Campbell right here.
Oh, no.
He then sees that the sun begins to set, so Ash hops back in the Delta 88 because he's being chased by evil once again. He ends up crashing into a stump. It sends him flying through the windshield, and now he has to continue on foot as the evil is in hot pursuit of him. And
By the way, on psychedelics, this is some of the best parts right here.
Oh, God, yeah.
Have you guys ever done psychedelics and Evil Dead?
Never done psychedelics and Evil Dead, but I can imagine how fun it would be.
Yeah.
But this is like a classic Sam Raimi trope that he uses in every film, is the camera following somebody running through something.
Yeah.
And the evil in this scene is what it does. It's just chasing him. It's one single shot of him running wildly through the cabin.
I like when he gets mad and it's like,
all right, you got me.
Yeah, so.
And of course, you can see the gymnasium on the top of the screen. So.
Yeah, you
like
can.
The evil's leaving like it has some place to be, too.
Like, yeah, he's just like, I give up.
All right, another day. I don't have time for this shit.
I'm not hanging out here trying to find you.
Yeah.
The Evil Dead has to find a body within 60 seconds or it dies, I think.
Is that how it works?
The rules of the Fallen.
Are you applying Fallen rules to it?
It's Fallen rules. Yeah.
It has to get back.
It has to find a cat somewhere.
Yeah.
So the evil then leaves, but Asha turns out he was hiding in the fruit cellar, which you'll find out is not the place you want to be. Even if from part one, you should know this is not the thing you want to be, is in the fruit cellar.
No. I'm pretty sure that that's the two most beautiful words in the English language are fruit cellar.
Does anybody have a fruit cellar, by the way?
Not anymore. I feel like they're not.
Yeah, and why
anymore.
Would you like want a you just have a cabin and like you're gonna use the basement to make it a fruit cellar?
Well, I think it harkens back to a time before electric and stuff like that, where you would need to preserve your food in a cold area, which generally would be the basement of a house, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the way you keep it chilled a little bit.
That's always a selling point.
Was there one piece of fruit down there?
Now in my fruit cellar, we just put the Quality Time Studios to keep it nice and cool.
So. They always make that a selling point with realtors. Like, this has a fruit cellar, so if you ever have like a dead body, you can keep that down there.
Next we get to meet Annie, who's just landed with some lost pages from the Necronomicon, to meet Ed, who will certainly become super evil soon. They're on their way to the cabin to meet her father, who has already met his demise, and Ash is there waiting for them.
My other favorite favorite acting when she closes the door to the car. Just might be a doorway to another world.
Yeah, yeah. Just might be.
Something came up in the Book of the Dead.
So, back in
the smarminess of herself. Gosh.
But luckily, that was less than a minute of the movie, and we're right back into the fucking action. Back at the cabin, Evil is already playing games with old Ashley Williams. He starts to hear piano music that he was playing for Linda earlier in the
film. I get emotional every time I see this part, too. I feel his emotion here, too.
This is so strong.
I was like, I always tell everybody, like, remember this song.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
No!
Yeah.
But then he says work shit.
I wonder if they sell that little pendant anywhere.
Yeah, I wonder if we can get an Evil Dead pendant.
The Linda pendant?
Yeah, he picks it up and it's like a little circular thing with like a little piece of clear.
I'll check for one at Foreman Mills.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, do you think they sell that at Foreman Mills?
At Foreman Mills, yeah. For a dollar.
But as it reaches its crescendo, he hears something and then he looks out the window. And the reanimated corpse of Linda has come back to life and starts dancing. And I only really pulled one audio clip from this, which just makes me laugh so hard. She's dancing in like this claymation thing, and when she hops off into like the, she like all of a sudden disappears and makes like this whimsical sound when she hops away.
Yeah. How do you feel about her getting sexy with that tree branch in her dance?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How do you feel about her getting sexy with that tree branch?
She was into it
Yeah.
Although it was the 80s, I don't like that there wasn't much of a booty there. I need some, a little bit of that.
But it was a corpse. I don't know if corpse could ever have one.
I've seen some dead monkeys that look pretty good, man.
As
corpses dance, I've seen worse in some of the clubs in Baltimore.
Yes. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
The other thing, I love how Sam Raimi mentions that the choreography was done by his actual dance teacher from high school or something.
So Ash is still peeking out the window, looking for where Linda's dead body went, when all of a sudden...
It's with me!
And just starts grabbing his head and slamming it into the
thing. She's loving it. She's having a great time doing that.
And this is just where the beginning of how much Sam Raimi loves to torture Bruce Campbell throughout this entire film is just slamming his head into things, smacking him with branches, and pouring gallons of blood down him, basically waterboarding him with corn syrup in this film. Ash appears to wake up from a dream in the rocking chair all of a sudden.
You're not mentioning the fact that after she slams her head falls off.
Oh, yeah. Her head falls backwards, and he's like, oh, God!
Yeah.
It was just a dream.
And then he wakes up and thinks maybe it's all just fake. Yeah. And then Linda's head just drops right into his lap again, and it's back on. The monster latches onto his hand, and just a very funny scene of him running around the house trying to get it off his hand.
Once again, these are Oscar moments right here. That's an Oscar moment right there, that hand.
I'm very ashamed that when they redid this, they couldn't have had it so that she actually latches onto his dick.
Yeah,
so.
that would have been good.
Then he would have had a chop of his own dick.
Well, he can't get it off, so he all of a sudden looks at the camera and says, Work shed. Which is, when you watch that part of the movie, it looks like it's horribly dubbed over, because it is.
That's like the first instance when you know he's like starting to be like a little kind of funny and cool. Like up until that point, you were like, yo, what is going on? You know, like when you're first seeing it for the first time, and then like that first time he's like, work shed, and you're like, hey, wait, maybe this is a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Not,
so, But it's actually funny that line is kind of famous, at least from the Evil Dead fans, because it's so badly dubbed with like what's actually there that in the 1996 film Escape from LA, Kurt Russell is side by side with Bruce Campbell, who plays like this gnarly plastic surgeon in the movie,
right,
who's about to work on him, and Kurt Russell looks up at him and goes, say work shed, and that's just a callback to Evil Dead 2, where that line sounds ridiculous. Gotcha. Right there. Now he takes her out to the work shed out there, and if you look really closely above the door, you will see one Freddy Krueger claw that is sitting right above the top of the door there, which is a callback to A Nightmare on Elm Street from 1984. And the reason is because on the wall in one of the scenes in that movie, they're watching the original Evil Dead. So it's a callback to Wes Craven just saying, giving him props like,
why did Wes Craven do that?
And why did Wes Craven do that? Because in the original Evil Dead, there's a poster down in there that's ripped, and it's actually The Hills Have Eyes. Yes. There you go. You thought you were going to trick me with that one, but I got it, baby.
Full circle.
So it's a love affair between Sam Raimi and Wes Craven. They really like, they dig
now,
each other's work.
Like Sam Raimi can make as many jokes as he wants because Wes Craven's dead.
Dead by dawn.
So, he sticks Linda's head in a vise and clamps it down, and she starts to. she does not like it. I guess I did. No. Here it is. He then goes and looks for the chainsaw so that he can get rid of her.
Even now, we have your darling Linda's soul. She suffers in torment.
You're going down.
Yeah.
And then he looks for the chainsaw and it's missing.
Yeah.
The disembodied, the headless corpse of Linda runs in there with the chainsaw, trying to kill Ash, and they battle. He battles her with a crowbar, eventually turning the chainsaw on the corpse and like slicing it down the middle. Blood everywhere. Yeah. Very funny, just to see this corpse kind of dance around.
I like to think that we probably never would have had Reanimator if not for this film. So.
You think so? There wouldn't be Reanimator.
Disembodied head, or maybe the eating out of a female body part.
I mean, wasn't the Reanimator before this movie? Reanimator's before Evil Dead 2. I'm pretty sure.
All right, maybe you're right.
Especially because you're thinking about the Reanimator baby that they film. How would they have made that without
the Reanimator? Okay, you're completely right, and I was called. Okay,
fucking
fine.
Idiot.
So Evil Dead 2 was inspired by Reanimator.
There you go. So
with the headless doctor. So
there you go. He ends up killing the headless body, and then
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
Another favorite scene is how that her disembodied body is just like slammed against him like it's a big fucking puppet anyway.
I know.
It doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good. It's not a good looking body at all. Yeah. She lost it when she died. She did. Yeah.
But after a teary moment, the head kind of turns back to regular Linda, like, Ash, please don't do this. He's just like, oh,
yeah. I know. I love it when they turn back normal, like, for a second. They're like, please.
But Ash ends up taking the chainsaw to her face, and then the chainsaw squirts blood all over the light fixture and shit like that. It's pretty cool. Yeah. Nice scene.
And the way he just talks to her, it's like a bad sports moment. It's like, you're going down.
Yeah.
Down.
Yeah. And she did. She went down.
So he heads back toward the cabin, and he finds his good old faithful boomstick on the wall. He puts a pocket full of shells. He gets a little pocket full of shells.
Get the pocket. Yep.
And
he's ready to get rally around the family.
Yeah, the rock. He then sees the rocking chair start to rock.
Also, like he like looks at the chainsaw, and then he's like, shotgun.
We'll take the shotgun.
I'll take the shotgun. Yeah, fuck this shit. Yeah.
So he goes over to the rocking chair that's moving for no reason. He reaches to stop it, and it stops on his own before he can touch it. Then the mirror, he walks over to the mirror to have a little chat with himself to see if he's going a little nuts here. So here's him trying to pull himself together.
I don't think so.
And so the image then grabs him, and so his reflection is now grabbing him by the shoulders.
We just cut up our girlfriend with a chainsaw. Does that sound fine?
I think this was also like a inspiration for that Aerosmith song "Fine." Fine.
You think so, Jeremy? Is this the part where you think the song should be?
Yeah,
this
pretty
is
much,
it.
Pretty
so, Jeremy,
much.
You made a song kind of commemorating this
F-I-N-E,
scene.
Fine.
Of this scene right here.
Yeah.
Here we go. Okay.
Everything is just fine. just cut up our girlfriend. Does that sound fine?
Another beautiful day out in the forest with my girlfriend. Gonna have some sex, it's fine.
She just tried to strangle you and her head fell off.
I love going in the woods, having lots of fun. Nothing's really wrong, it's just fine.
Oh, yeah.
They're gonna swallow your soul, you stupid fuck.
Uh-oh. What's going on?
Oh, that's
on?
Good.
On Elm Street in space.
By the way, I think I need to work out the screenplay for Nightmare on Elm Street in Space.
Ooh, I like that.
That would be fun. That's the last frontier that we need to see Freddy.
You know, they have a moon base, and they're like, well, maybe we should have streets in the moon. Why don't we call one of them Elm Street?
So he then snaps out of this illusion of him talking to himself, and now the illusion is choking him. It pans back, and he's just choking himself, and he freaks out. Then he looks at the hand where he got bit by Linda, and he looks at it, and all of a sudden, black varicose veins start fucking forming as the
That's
venom
not good.
Starts. Like,
yeah.
And then his hand is now evil and trying to murder him. And another great acting moment from Bruce Campbell here.
You bastards. You dirty bastards. Give me back my head. Give me back my hand.
This is a
perfectly acted.
Yeah, perfectly acted.
Also very much like that Michael Caine movie called My Bloody Hand.
My Bloody Hand.
Oh. My Bloody Hand!
If you could recast this movie with one other actor, who would it be?
For Ash?
Yeah, for Ash. If you had to.
Tobey Maguire?
Maguire?
I'm joking.
Carrot Top.
Carrot Top?
Yeah.
Can I just throw this out here? Tell me you wouldn't love this 1980s version of him. William Shatner playing this part. How good would Shatner be in this film? If you had to choose another one, how good would Shatner be? My hand! Give me back my hand!
Well, I'm a man and you're a woman. At least I think so since I checked.
Bum, 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 bum.
So Annie and Ed get to the bridge, and they find that it's out, but they find a helpful hillbilly named Jake and his girlfriend, his trashy girlfriend, Bobby Joe, who agree to take them down to the cabin trail for the right
Bobby
price.
Well, actually, her first line actually might be one of the top five acting scenes of the movie, too.
I didn't pull the clip for that, but yeah. You can share with us. Go for it.
Sure ain't no road.
So, meanwhile,
and then spit afterwards. Yeah.
Meanwhile, back at the cabin, Ash is dealing with his new possessed hand in the kitchen that's kicking his ass all over the place. It's breaking dishes and bottles over his head. It actually, at one part, takes him and then.
Could
flips
you pull this
off?
Yourself?
I couldn't do this, but yeah. only.
Could
only
you pull this off?
Jeremy?
An
actor
scene?
Oh, never.
Yeah.
Not
like,
even
this
when
is
I was
like,
in shape.
Yeah, he pulls some wrestling style bumps out here.
Yeah, that's like. All out.
And he does all his own stunts in this film back here. Ashley Williams, Bruce Campbell actually flips himself over onto his back with his hand. It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, that's.
I like the logic is that he tries to drown his hand.
Yeah.
Like it needs to breathe.
Yeah.
So he's laying on the ground now, passed out, and the hand is now sees a meat cleaver like this, and is like, and starts slowly, inch by inch, like crawling
Even
across.
This scene is a brilliant
and
acting.
Yeah, he's like, you know, I know he's just moving his whole body with his toe the whole time, but you can't see it. It's just like one hand closer.
Yeah.
And as he's getting closer and closer, Ash reaches up and stabs his hand with the knife and then looks at it and goes,
he
goes and grabs the chainsaw.
Did you notice that he starts his own chainsaw with his mouth?
Yeah.
I also like how he needed, he needs no pain meds, nothing.
No, just
a cloth and some duct tape, and he's like in no pain anymore.
He's so strong. It's still better than...
Yeah, that's what heroes do. You know, you just wrap it up, duct tape it. You lost your hand, so what? What are you going to complain?
It's still better than 187, because he had that really cheap knife to cut his hand off.
Or his arm.
Oh, yeah.
So he cuts the hand off and then places a wastebasket over top of it, and then because the hand is still going... So he puts the bucket, a waste basket over it, and then puts some books on top of it. What's the book that he puts on top of it?
By the way, did you see Idle Hands, the movie?
Great film.
Yeah, his performance is great too with his hand.
That is good.
Yeah, he had a great hand performance as well.
Do you remember the book that he puts on top of it, Jeremy?
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of a funnier joke. It's a Farewell to Arms.
It's Farewell to Arms. It was a good joke. So,
I wonder why he thought that would work though.
I don't know. It literally could carry the whole weight of your body a minute ago. It's Farewell to Arms.
It was beating the shit of you. Yeah, in a little tin can, trash can with like two books on top.
He's bandaging up his hand with some duct tape, and you can see the hand break free in the background, and it crawls into the wall as Ash starts popping shots off into the wall, trying to shoot it, and eventually hits one, and a little trickle of blood comes out.
Gotcha, didn't I, you little sucker?
And then the blood becomes a fire hose worth of blood that just starts squirting him in the face. Pretty fucking hilarious. All the shotgun holes that he's left in the wall are now just spraying gallons and gallons of blood into the room, completely drenching him. Apparently, when they were doing the scene, it was actually shot perpendicular with him kind of laying on his back, and then they just dropped gallons of blood onto his face, which is basically waterboarded old Bruce Campbell in the scene.
Bill Murray thinks that he was
slimed. I wonder
how
they got that place cleaned up to do another take.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess they had to just wipe it on, power wash
it down.
Do
they have
like
multiple cabin
maybe
sets?
They rebuilt it. I don't know. I would assume that they just wait.
That's like a one taker, maybe.
Well,
you know,
the whole
like
scene is the thing itself is actually like 10 feet off the ground. So there's puppeteers working the hand underneath there to like make it crawl across the thing. So I'm sure like the boards, they just washed it all out and it came underneath and they just cleaned up all the slop underneath there. I would assume
slop.
So and then you see the blood kind of suck back into the wall. Ash goes down to sit down in a chair and it breaks, and all of a sudden he looks over and the deer head looks at him and just starts just starts laughing at him, and the deer
this
head is
might
really
be my
creepy,
favorite
man.
Yeah, it might be my favorite scene in the movie. Might.
Yeah, this is the, and then everything in the room just starts coming to life and laughing at him.
Yeah.
I actually like the little thing where it's like the lamp that's going up and down, and he starts kneeling with it.
That's like the purest moment of crazy you could ever have. Yeah. And he's letting it all out, you know?
He's losing his mind.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it stops. And he pops a shot through the door, and we hear a woman scream. It's actually Annie and them that show up, but Jake bursts through the door and disarms old Ashley Williams.
I felt so bad for Ash right there too.
You're like,
I was like,
you don't know this.
Yeah, I know. He's been through so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they go and lock him into the fruit cellar. Yeah. As he's laying there in the fruit cellar, Annie goes over and plays more of the tape that her dad recorded.
Rot down there, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I was like...
But now we're getting into probably the most uncomfortable part of this movie is what's waiting in the fruit cellar for him that the tape's going to tell us
Someone's
about.
It's only been a few hours
since I've translated and spoken aloud the first of the demon resurrection passages from the Book of the
Dead. This is my father's voice.
How come nobody ever talks like this anymore?
Listen up, this is my father's voice.
This is my... No one has this kind of voice anymore.
My wife has become host to a Kandarian demon.
Demon.
May God forgive me for what I have unleashed onto this earth. Last night, Henrietta tried to...
Kill me.
Kill me.
No.
It's now October 1st, 4:33 p.m. Henrietta is dead. I could not bring myself to dismember her corpse, but I dragged her down the steps and I buried her. I buried her in the cellar.
Why would he bury her in the cellar, first of all, anyways?
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's
just
outside.
For later.
Yeah, you're in the woods. Like, why would you go bury her in the cellar?
Yeah, he's not Ash. Ash is a smart, savvy guy. He's like, you don't bury him in the basement.
Let me bury them in the basement.
Just the look on his face when he starts saying, I buried her. Yeah, like, oh, fuck.
I know.
But help me, I buried her in the earthen floor.
His scream right here is the best, too. Yeah.
That one's in my fridge cellar. Someone with a fresh soul.
I love how she's like trying to walk, trying to be sexy.
God.
She's trying to walk all sensual over to him.
I like to think that, that yeah. I like to think that actually is Ted Raimi's voice.
Yeah, so. I think it is Ted Raimi. So, brother of the director Ted Raimi, acclaimed actor Ted Raimi.
Acclaimed.
And Jeremy, be honest. Did you think that Henrietta was sexy when she was walking over to him?
Yeah, but he's doing like the little.
Be honest. Did you
come to Henrietta?
Come to Henrietta.
After a 24-pack, I'd do it. Yeah.
Okay.
It's interesting. So Sam Raimi, Ted Raimi actually has this giant latex suit on of Henrietta, and they're filming this in like the summer months in North Carolina. And if you watch, I watched some of the extra scenes of him coming out of this thing. They would like pull off the foot of it, and like a styrofoam cup's worth of sweat would just pour out of this thing.
Yes.
And they said that the cast, when they took him out of it, would just collect all the sweat, and they played some type of prank on him in the last.
Oh,
they didn't tell us what it was, but I can assume a bucket of this sweat probably got poured back on Ted Raimi at one point, which is the grossest thing. And I mean, it was like, I watched this soup that would just come out of this suit. They show in like the extras of like, because they would powder it up inside. It's just this white fucking liquid. It just looks like, Peter North had just done every scene he's ever done, just collects in there, just pouring out of this suit. Ugh, it's so gross. So here's a little bit more of Henrietta approaching Ash as he's begging for them to open the door to the fruit cellar.
It's a trick, I know it!
It's a trick, I know it.
Help me, please! I'll swallow your soul!
Your head morphs into this fucking gnarly thing.
Yeah.
But luckily, he's pulled up by Jake just in time
by
his head. And he's,
That
they
worked.
Then, they then sit on top of the fruit cellar doors. It's like pounding up and down like this. And they're able to lock it up just in time before shit gets real.
Yeah.
So,
I'll tell you, those Cadbury cream demons are horrible.
The Candarian cream egg demons.
Cadbury.
Cadbury. But I was thinking October 1st should be Evil Dead Day, right?
That's when Henrietta dies.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to tell you. Is this technically supposed to be happening on Halloween? Because time has elapsed. Ash gets there. Is this actually, is Evil Dead 2 on Halloween? I don't know.
It could be.
Timeline-wise, is this technically a real Halloween movie? Because Night of the Demons is one of those movies that happens on Halloween, but it's not like, it's like reps. I guess it does rep Halloween
pretty
hard.
Oh, yeah, because she died October 1st. Yeah.
They bury her. I mean, they don't really nail down the timeline, but this could be October 31st.
I consider Night of the Demons Halloween 4.
Halloween 4,
yeah.
Night of the Witch.
Yeah. Night of the Demons.
Night of the Demons.
Yeah.
So, Annie goes over. I'm sorry. We see Sweet Henrietta. He gets pulled up by his mouth. All of a sudden, we hear some of the trickery that Henrietta is going to play. Well, no. First, we see... We hear this.
There's something out there that witch in the cellar is only part of it. It lives out in those woods in the dark. Something that's come back from the dead.
Yeah.
Did somebody say William Shatner? The slowest line
wouldn't
delivery.
Couldn't you just see Shatner delivering this line like no other?
Yeah.
So
he could do it.
All of a sudden, Henrietta turns back to sweet Henrietta and is peering through the opening in the fruit cellar door, just trying to convince him to let her out. And hush, little baby, don't say a word. Mama's gonna buy you a mockingbird. And he holds back Annie. He's like, no. You don't want any of that.
Yeah,
smoke.
That's like the first time you've ever seen anyone do that in any kind of movie too. That was like, don't fall for this trick, please.
Yeah, please.
It
don't
happens
be an
all
idiot.
The time.
Don't do it.
Yeah,
don't do it. Yeah. Get an axe.
You know what would have been even more ironic is if she was singing that, and then all of a sudden James Taylor's head also came up to sing with her.
But as they're looking at sweet Henrietta, Ed all of a sudden pops up, and he's possessed as fuck now, just starts going, dead my dog, dead my dog, dead my dog. And Ash comes over with an axe and hacks Ed to pieces before he can free Henrietta. The house continues to play mind games on the gang. It's also important to note, I guess, that Ed bites a big piece of Bobby Joe's hair off, which is pretty cool and gnarly.
And swallows it.
And swallows it. Like,
tries to shove it down the fake head.
There's a deleted scene that no longer exists, but you can see the skull. You can see the prosthetics they made for it. There's actually a more extended axe scene where he cuts Ed's head in half, so like part of his brain is exposed. And there's a part where that thing chases him around like the cabin. And Sam Raimi wanted to always put that in the movie, but none of that footage exists anymore, and it's all just gone.
Wow.
But the Greg Nicotero, who worked special effects, who now works the main special effects guy for The Walking Dead, has always talked about how hard they worked on that scene for Ed that just got cut, and then never, the film is just gone. They can't find it anywhere, which is kind of sad. I mean, the prosthetic for it of half head Ed looks really fucking cool. So check that out. You can Google it and see all that shit there. The house continues to play mind games with the gang. Noises start moving all over the house. A door opens to the bedroom. Lightning appears to flicker. They walk in and it's fucking Ghost Dad.
Father?
Hey, there I come with some jello pudding pops. It's me, Ghost Dad.
Here that wants to destroy you. Your salvation lies there.
In the book.
Insert the book. Recite the passages. Dispel the evil. Save my soul.
Ooh.
What was he trying to tell us?
What could it be? So the lights all flicker out, and then Bobby Joe says this to Jake.
Jake, you're holding my hand too tight.
Baby, I ain't holding your hand.
And I look down. And it's Ash's hand! So the lights go out again, and you can hear Jake, when they put it back on, Jake can hear screaming outside as Bobby Joe runs wildly through the woods, and she ends up running to a demonic tree that ensnares her with vines and then drags her through the woods and doesn't quite sexually assault
her. Rapes her.
Probably inferred rape happens. Implied rape. I'm sorry. I fixed that. I say the word infer, apparently, when I mean to say imply, and Joe Robinson always corrects me, and I never fix it, but that time I'm doing it a self-correction. Boom.
Inferred rape.
Infer rape.
Which is also dilapidated.
That's like if you're a sexual predator, you see an infer rape. Right?
Oh.
That was good. That was a stretch, right?
I think if you see a regular porno, that's rape, but if it's all in red, it's infra rape.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of getting at, like predator vision. That's what predator vision is.
Could that be a shirt? Could that be a shirt too, or no?
Yeah, we're working on it. Check out our Teespring account. We'll have that up by the end of the week. So
I like it.
Inside, Jake is worried about Bobby Joe, obviously, as Annie starts to look at the pages.
It's that picture.
What is that?
1300 AD, they called this man the hero from the sky.
Or the idiot.
He was prophesied to have destroyed the evil.
Didn't do a very good job.
But if you look at the pages, it's clearly a guy with a chainsaw hand.
That's an hilarious line, by the way. Yeah. He didn't do a very good job. Yeah.
It's foreshadowing for our next film, The Army of Darkness, which that will come into play. The Man from the Sky is Ash himself, who has to go back in time.
I don't even call Evil Dead 2. I call it The Army of Darkness prequel.
Yes, yes. So as they're figuring all this out, Jake gets the gun and says, "We're going outside to find Bobby Joe." He grabs the pages and then shoves them down the fruit cellar door, making it impossible for them to read them, and forces them at gunpoint outside to go search. Now, the trees all start to move a little bit and appear to be coming alive, and Jake is just screaming for Bobby Joe.
Bobby! Go!
As evil's coming to get him.
Bobby Joe! Where are you, girl?
He backs up. And the evil is on him. And now, once again, possessed old Ashley Williams. So Ash is now evil again. Evil Ash is walking around, beating the shit out of people. Annie then runs for the door. She grabs the weird Kandarian dagger, which is like this bone fucking dagger. It's pretty badass looking, much better than the original Evil Dead one, which just looks like a knife with like a skull head. This one actually looks like a piece of spine that's fashioned
into a special zombie keg tap.
Yeah.
So that out of the top, the juice comes out of that little skull thing.
She hears somebody coming inside through the back door, but it's Jake. She accidentally stabs him right in the gut with it, fucking up Jake.
Do you think Tommy
bad.
Could 3D print one of those for us?
I bet you he could. A Kandarian dagger. I'll talk to Thomas. I want a Kandarian dagger.
I know that'd
be
like,
cause,
yeah. Nowadays you could probably have one. Like,
fuck yeah, dude. We live in a time of miracles now. So she pulls Jake inside and then pulls the knife from his belly, leaving him to just die slowly on the floor there. But she drags him too close to the cellar door, and Henrietta drags him into the cellar and just fucking fucking symphony of gore just starts spraying out from the crack of the cellar door.
Yeah.
Ash then returns and throws Annie down, but as he closes in, he sees the locket that he gave Linda on the floor, and the sadness washes over him as he's transformed back to good old Ash again. Mm-hmm. All it takes was looking at a little bit
of a... That just shows you what love can do, you know? That's what I've learned. That's one of the things, you know? Love can turn you back if you're a demon, you know?
Love will make you a demon. Turn you back to regular again. Singing a song.
Nightmare Toy is only $150.
$150 for really? Kandarian Demon. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's shit. Tight. All right, cool.
$150 is not bad.
I still want
Nightmare
one
Toys.
I want one printed for like $25. So I'm gonna go with that. I bet you look at a Wish. I bet you on Wish we can order one
Hell
for $50.
Yeah.
It's Kandorian with a C or a K.
It's a K. Yeah, Kandorian. Kandorian. So. Ash pulls himself back together. She tries to kill him still because she thinks he's just playing a trick. And he's like, "I'm all right, damn it!" So he has to do it like 10 times
Set
to convince
right.
her. And he tells her, he's like, "We're screwed unless we go down there to go get those pages." And he pulls out this line right here.
"Then let's head down into that cellar.
It's my favorite
and
part.
Carve ourselves a witch."
She heard him. She's like, yeah, you can try that.
Come on down, Ashy. So, I love that. I just fucking love that. So Ash heads to the work shed, and we get to hear the wonderful montage of him making the chainsaw arm.
This is when he became everyone's hero. Yeah.
He saws off the end of the shotgun with the chainsaw. His new chainsaw arm that he's fashioned.
Groovy.
Oh, yeah. I'm fucking... I got
That's when
hard
you believe,
the first time I saw that.
Yeah, when you... Yeah. And the music for it too, like, was like perfect. Yeah. Like,
I even like, it's so smart that he even has a little clip on his chest so that he can pull start it with just one, with just the chainsaw itself. Like, pretty badass.
Pretty badass,
so,
for sure.
He goes,
he says, good, bad, I'm the one with the gun.
Yes. Good, bad, I'm the one with the gun. Bad. That's in part three. But thank
Or the really bad version where he says, I'm not that good.
Yeah.
Ooh, terrible.
So the trees start to uproot outside and walk towards the house. Inside the cabin, Ash cuts open the door to the fruit cellar and heads down. If you look really closely, once again, you could see Freddy's glove once again to the left of the door, just hanging there randomly. So this house has two Freddy gloves. There's one in the work. There's one in the work shed, and there's one right to the right of the door that he walks through down in the fruit cellar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I noticed that on my very recent watch through. I was
like,
oh,
to watch,
there's
this
another
on Blu-ray.
There it is. There's another one right there. So it's on left side
of
the door.
Son
of
a bitch. Right when he goes down the fruit cellar for the first time.
Yeah, he goes down the fruit cellar, and then there's a doorway that he walks through. And as you see that, it's the little Freddy glove. It's just hanging right there on the side of the door. So he heads through there. It's lots of piping and for the cabin, an unusual amount of pipes for such a primitive cabin. He starts finding pages to the book until he sees Jake's body completely stripped of all of its flesh. Nothing but bone and overalls are left.
Henrietta was hungry.
Yeah, so he picks up some wet pages that were hiding underneath his body. He grabs them, and he goes fucking hightails it for the exit. He tosses the pages up, and in what... I don't know how you throw a stack of pages so perfectly. I don't know why. That makes me laugh so hard, is that he's downstairs, throws them up a flight of steps, perfect. None of them separate. They're like, oh, thanks, I got my pages now. So
it's kind of like how a chainsaw, if you throw it down a well, it'll exactly land on a guy's stump. So,
As he slowly backs up the steps, he thinks he's in the clear, but Henrietta is hiding under the steps and then pulls him through, and then the fight is on. Annie begins to read, but she can hear the commotion as Henrietta comes up the stairs manhandling her. But Ash comes out of the cellar to save the day as he crawls up out. So Henrietta, flying around, starts fighting with Ash. She grows a giant snake head that looks very similar to a Beetlejuice film, and some bad claymation is worked into this part as well.
It starts sounding like a monkey.
So as the fight's happening, Ash is kind of losing, not doing too well, when all of a sudden she pipes up. And Annie starts singing that, and it distracts her just long enough for Ash to take full advantage of this distraction and just starts hacking parts off of this thing. Hands go flying, and then he finally hits the neck.
It's like a beautiful symphony.
Yeah. I like it for some...
Did you feel bad for the creature when...
No, I didn't feel bad for
the little
creature.
Sad face. You know that face, you know, when... Like, she was like, you know, like, when Annie was singing, and she, like, you know.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
she
was like,
I trusted you.
Yeah.
For some reason,
like, I have a heart, or, like, I'm still in here, Annie, a little bit. A little of me is still here.
I love you.
A little of me is still here.
And I also think it's really funny, after he chops off the head, like, the neck that's still left behind, it's not even spraying blood, it's, like, powdered red.
He, like, gasps. Yeah. I thought it was some kind of, like, like, some kind of, like, fart kind of.
With the sound of a balloon making, releasing air.
Yeah, that noise was, like, fantastic too.
Now, as he's looking at the dismembered head of this snake Henrietta head, it looks up to him and is going, I'll swallow your soul!
Hey, I'll swallow your soul! I'll swallow your soul! I'll swallow your soul!
Swallow this.
Fucking awesome. Hell yeah. So, Ash, that epic fight scene with the sweet Henrietta, who returns later in the franchise for the Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Oh, yeah.
With, I think, is Ted Raimi
definitely
still in the
Ted
suit?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't. I mean, it looks like him enough. It
voiced over. In which one?
In the TV series.
Yeah, the season 3.
Oh, okay,
of Ash vs.
Evil
Dead.
Gotcha. Yeah, okay.
They return to the cabin, and Sweet Henrietta is still there, which doesn't make sense because he completely destroyed her head right here. But, you know, I accept.
I must say that at the last Monster Mania, eventually Ted Raimi started wandering around looking at booths and looking at stuff, and I'm such a stalker. I'm just like eyeing him up like, please get closer, come here.
So Ted Raimi, Sam Raimi's brother.
Yes, that's Sam Raimi's brother.
And he was just an actor in this?
Yeah, he's an actor in this. You could see him... he's in also in Army of Darkness. He's been in other films too. You recognize
who's
him
in Army of Darkness?
There's one scene where he goes. He was just like, "You have my blade," and he's that guy.
You
that
can count on my steel.
Oh, they got the beard.
Yeah.
The red beard. Yeah.
Which seconds before when they
start. Are not one of my vassals.
Yeah.
Which seconds earlier he starts.
Who
going,
are you?
What are we gonna do? We're gonna all gonna die.
Yeah, he's the guy that also goes. We're gonna all gonna die.
Yeah.
That same guy.
Now
so.
You know who Sam Raimi is in this movie, right?
At the very end, we're gonna get to Sam Raimi.
Wait,
does
in
make
Evil Dead too?
No, Evil Dead too. Yeah.
Yeah, he makes a cameo at the very end.
Yeah. Does he?
Yeah, I have the audio clip. We'll bring it up at the end here. But as we approach the end here, so Ash goes over to comfort Annie after this, but the moment is short lived as the trees start to beat the shit out of the house. And the old cabin is being ripped apart. Annie tells Ash that she's only started the passages, making evil into flesh and not opening the rift that's going to suck them away.
Why would you want to do that?
So evil comes into the right through the front door, and it is this giant fucking head that they actually called the rotten apple, which is just this giant meat structure with a fucking gnarly eyes and teeth and shit.
Isn't one of the heads actually Blair from The Thing? So.
You think is
no,
it?
I'm just
I've never
a
looked
thing,
at that.
Sorry.
Evil comes in the door, and it's this giant gnarly head, which actually disappeared from the shoot after they'd finished it because they didn't want to ship it back to California. They left it in North Carolina. It disappeared, was actually just at a local haunted house that somebody guy just put in there, and it just had this Kindarian demon head from Evil Dead 2.
Oh, shit.
For years and years, it just didn't tell anybody until they found it. They were like, oh, shit, that's our movie. So it was just at a local North Carolina attraction for years and years after this.
Can I also say when the trees start attacking the house, all I can think of is that song by Belly. Mm-hmm. You know, keep your head up, boy, when you're talking to me, be there when I feed the tree.
Yeah, that's what I think of,
I don't
too.
Know why.
True that.
So, now I'll think about that.
Okay. So,
keep your head up, boy, when you're talking to me.
So it turns Ash's hair instantly gray on the sides when he looks it dead in the face.
Mm-hmm.
She continues to read, but Ash's evil hand puts the Kandarian dagger into Annie's back. The tree hand then comes through the fucking window and grabs Ash and brings him closer and closer to the mouth of the beast as he shoves the chainsaw into the fucking eye socket of this thing, and like black and green goop shoot all over him. But now the rift is slowly opening and sucking everything in. Evil thinks that it's won.
We've won!
We've won!
Victory is ours!
So as all this is happening, Annie's able to read the final book passages that open up this giant rift in time that starts sucking everything into it, including Ash himself.
And the end. Oh, the sad violin music.
Yeah.
As Ash slowly...
Just picture this whole thing on psychedelics.
Yeah, it's a strong scene. So Ash then all of a sudden, after this little montage of him floating through time and space in this dark abyss, he crash lands into the pass and surrounded by knights and heavy cavalry, all of a sudden sees a flying demon come out, and they start to scatter. He takes the boomstick, blows this motherfucker's head clear off in a quite an epic thing. I actually watched a lot of the making of this cool demon that he made and like the different steps and them exploding it. It was a really well done thing, but you don't actually see the tail of it. The actual demon, because I guess they had to hang wires from it, it had like this cool seahorse tail that actually looked like this gnarly spike at the back, which is pretty badass. Yeah. I really loved like watching the little details of the actual model. He was like, I'm really sad they didn't get my seahorse tail in this, but I wish they had, but I understand why they didn't. Not going to question Sam Raimi. Yeah. So this guy goes into it. And the monster falls, one of the knights pulls up his mask, and this is actually director Sam Raimi himself delivering this line here.
Let me see this.
Hail he who has come from the skies to deliver us from the terrors of the Deadites! Hail! Hail! Hail!
Oh, no.
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 I can only think that and the clash together. I can only think that it would be better that he just decides to make the pose from the picture just for the hell of it.
Yeah, like, oh!
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And that brings us to an end of Evil Dead 2, the Sam Raimi classic.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite scene at the end of Black Dynamite is when she just goes against, starts to hug his leg like a pose for a hug.
Oh, man. So, closing thoughts, Mr. Savoy. What did you think? Tell us about your love for Evil Dead, what you thought of it overall, its impact on your life.
Yeah. I think I've watched at least 100 times, if I'm being honest.
I'm gonna rescind my earlier statement about being top 20 movies of all time. I'm gonna go through my five. I'm gonna say five would be Gone with the Wind. Four would be Forrest Gump.
Uh-huh.
Three is Shawshank Redemption. Two is probably like The Godfather, and one Evil Dead 2.
Yeah,
so
that makes sense. I think Martin Scorsese would agree with you on this front.
Yeah, because Superman 2 is actually in my top five too. So
you're a real bitch. I mean, honestly, to me, Evil Dead is everything that makes movies fun to me. I like seeing gore. I laugh. I cry. There's no tears.
Yeah,
I just want to laugh and lose myself.
It's
for
like
a
everything.
Hours.
Yeah, and like you could be a little scared too if you want to be a little scared too. Like it grabs every emotion. It's great to show people. Like it's like one of those movies you like are excited to show people because you know it's not gonna fail them. You like, this is not gonna, like, if they hate this, then
I showed my wife. She fucking hated this movie. There wasn't one party she liked about it at all. But you know, it was fun. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Did you ever try her again with it, or just like
she refused? Well, she doesn't like horror movies in general, but she'll watch a suspenseful horror film. Like she likes the Silence of the Lambs of the world and things like that.
Like Bird Box, like the Bird Box kind of.
She was okay with Bird Box. It wasn't her jam though.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get her to watch Hereditary. She got most of the way through it. She was like, "Oh, I like it." I was like, "Okay, cool." Yeah.
I only wish that the Fat Boys would still be alive so that they could have been in it. Could have been Bird Box.
Yeah,
kinda like Bird Box.
No, there's still two Fat Boys alive.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, why did I think they were dead?
Only the beatbox one died.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But this movie, I think Evil Dead in general, and especially Evil Dead 2, really set a precedent for the comedy genre, the comedy horror genre. I'd say the only other person that even rivals a Sam Raimi would be Peter Jackson with Bad Taste and Dead Alive. I mean, these are the pioneering films of horror and comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
And human
is that the Shaun the Dead guy?
No, Peter Jackson... maybe you've heard of him. He's an Oscar winner. He directed these little movies called The Lord of the Rings.
I think I've heard of that guy, and I think I've heard of Lord of the Rings had those little Gelflings in it, right?
Yes. Have you ever seen Dead Alive, though? Yeah. Have you ever watched Dead Alive? Because if you love Evil Dead 2, you'd love that movie. You really would.
Yeah, I actually started watching it, and I didn't. Yeah, I have to.
It's a 10 out of 10. It's filmed in New Zealand. There's a part where a priest does kung fu to zombies. I mean, and there's a part where a guy fashions, instead of a chainsaw, a giant fucking
a normal size lawnmower
that he straps to his chest and then just walks through people with it. So
I like that.
It
yeah.
is ultra gory and ultra fun, and directed by an award-winning director, Oscar nominated and winning director.
Also made The Frighteners.
Did he make The Frighteners? No, that was Robert Zemeckis. Robert Zemeckis did that one.
Are you sure?
Yes, Robert Zemeckis. Did The Frighteners.
All right, I'll take your word.
That's Robert Zemeckis. All
and
the
they
way.
Don't. They do have an Evil Dead musical.
Oh yeah, I've never watched it. Have you seen the Evil Dead musical?
I have
before?
Not seen the musical. Jeremy, would you go see the musical?
No.
And this movie, I mean, this Evil Dead 2 sparked one of the more than Evil Dead 1 itself. Really set it as a franchise that would go on to be as profitable as anything else. Mm-hmm. As much as your Friday the 13th, your Nightmare on Elm Streets, it's gone on to make two sequels. I count technically Drag Me to Hell as another sequel, and a very successful TV series in Ash vs. Evil Dead, which unfortunately ended at its third season because of pirating. I was one of the ones that did not help that because I couldn't justify buying Stars for $10 a month just for Evil Dead. So
you could also get Power. Hey.
No, The Frighteners is directed by Peter Jackson.
Is it really?
Oh, stand corrected.
The Frighteners. I was wrong. Okay. I did not know. Is it a Robert Zemeckis film, though?
It has a Zemeckis taste to it, that's for sure.
What did Robert Zemeckis produce it then?
I think he kind of loads on his style. So
I'm gonna go back.
Plus,
and
it's that same theme. Plus, it's that same theme. Hey, how am I gonna get back to the living world, Doc?
True movie. True movie. Music.
Is that Jake Busey's best film he's ever been in?
Damn right, fucking Jake.
I don't know.
Busey.
I give Starship Troopers
every
a head on that.
Every day is a good day.
Oh, yeah.
I love him in. Although you know what else he's in?
He's in something new now. Now
Jake Busey's in
Starship Troopers,
Stranger Things. You know that?
Yeah, he's in Stranger Things. He's a
and
a
from
really
that he and he's in some new movie that's coming that looks really really tight. Jake Busey.
You know, I'm just glad Jake Busey's still working.
Yeah.
You know, he you never don't see his
Sean,
teeth.
I think you've had a better career than Jake Busey, so.
I wish.
And you've almost had sex with a better tranny than probably he is.
Fuck
so.
True
that.
Dude.
True that.
Sean, where can people find you at and look you up and follow you and support you?
Yeah, hit me up on Instagram, at Savoy's World.
Yeah, you put up fucking cool ass designs and shit like that too.
Yeah.
You're a great graphic designer, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned
thank
this.
You. I appreciate
he makes
that,
fucking gnarly ass art for comics and stuff like that, and it's really dope, man. Like I love your work.
The only
to death.
Person I would consider a bigger Star Wars fan than me.
Yeah, I
it's good stuff, man. It's our end credit song.
Oh, I like that song.
Yeah, it picks up. It picks up. You can catch all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Eric with a K, comedy with a C. The Second Saturday Shit Show is free every second Saturday of the month at the Auto Bar. That's hosted by Mike Quinlan and former host of the show, Kimberly Callahan. So check that shit out. I got some cool stuff coming up in November. I'm going to be somewhere in D.C. I don't know. Check out Eric Comedy. You can find all that shit out. Other shit on dielaughingproductions.com for the murder mystery. Jeremy. Is doing Baby Eater steal, and I guess he's going to take us out here.
I will make it happen.
Someone's in my fruit cellar! Someone's in the fresh soul!
Ten by ton! At Savoy's World.
I'm a pallet jack driver, pallet jack driver. I'm a pallet jack driver, drive a pallet jack. Going from here to those and their wheels, driving in the cold environment every day. Going to load up other trucks. I'm a pallet jack driver.
Sound fine.
Another beautiful.
I love going in the woods, having lots of fun. Nothing's really wrong, it's just fine.
They're gonna swallow your soul, you stupid fuck. Nightmare on Elm Street in space.
Electric Cottage.